So today we continue our series through looking at the seven primary I am statements of Jesus. We've talked about three so far. I am the bread of life, we saw in John chapter 6. I am the light of the world in John chapter 8. In the beginning of this chapter, Pastor Ben preached on last week, I am the door, or some translations say, I am the gate. Of course, Christ is speaking that, and part of what he's speaking is he is identifying himself as the second person of the triune God, the second person of the God Yahweh who delivered Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so many of the Pharisees understood what Jesus was claiming. It says in the Gospel of John, that's why they sought to kill him all the more, because he was calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. Today in our text, Jesus does the exact same thing. The interesting thing about our text today is this, though. Chapters 9 and 10 should be really taken together. And so the whole book, that whole section of Christ's ministry, John is trying to explain to us several things. But in chapter 9 and 10, one of the things he really wants to express to us is that the shepherds of Israel have failed. And so we're going to look at three images that's kind of intrinsically, you know, portrayed and painted all through Scripture, three images of what a shepherd is. Shepherd, of course, is the leaders of Israel. Shepherds can also be God, of course, or is God. And the shepherd, of course, as we're going to look at today, is Jesus, the Messiah. But in Ezekiel 34, as we read that chapter, that portion of that chapter for our Scripture lesson, we're going to be looking in that quite a bit. That section of Scripture speaks directly, as God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel, speaks directly to the religious leaders of that time, to the religious leaders that failed during the time of Ezekiel. But also, Jesus, as he now talks to these religious leaders, he's actually speaking to them. If you look at the chapter in the beginning of the text, he's directing his conversation toward the religious leaders. It's not that it isn't for us to hear too, because Jesus does want to reveal himself as the door, as the gate, as the good shepherd. He wants to reveal all those things, but this portion of Scripture is directed at the failure of the religious leaders to lead in a way that glorifies God. And so quite frankly, I'm kind of preaching to myself and to all those who are religious leaders or church leaders within the church today. So if you have your Bible, join me in turning to John chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 21. And so shepherding in ancient Palestine really paints a beautiful picture for us to understand the text in a little bit more accurate way. Shepherding in ancient Palestine was way, way different than it is today. We don't just take sheep and put them in a fence and just leave them alone. That's not how it was done back then. That's how it's done today. You have a fence, they just stay there. They can pretty much kind of fend for themselves, right? No, not in ancient Palestine, no fences. Pastor Ben talked about last week, the shepherd would live with, sleep with, and lay his life down with the sheep. One of the most striking pictures of a good shepherd that's not Jesus, that pointed toward Jesus, is David. If you think about David as a young man, he fought off a lion and a bear as a 13-year-old. Wow. How many 13-year-olds want to go against a bear and a lion? Raise your hand. Just kidding. I'll take you to the zoo and throw you in. No, I'm just kidding. So there's this bravery that you see in David. And I think another aspect of why David was a man after God's own heart is before he became a king, he was a good shepherd. He was a shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. He was a shepherd that pointed forward to the good shepherd, the one that would come through his lineage, the great king, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so the shepherds would live with the sheep. They would lay down their lives for the sheep at night. You saw that picture that Pastor Ben had. There was this rocks that they would pile like in a shape of almost like a circle with a door there. And the shepherd would lay across that door to protect the sheep so that nothing could come in and steal the sheep. The thief in this chapter is Satan. He makes it really clear. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says in this chapter, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus wants you to be part of this sheepfold. The blessing of Jesus coming to and through the nation of Israel is a wonderful truth that we should never forget. But Jesus, as he is the Messiah who brought about and confirmed and realized the salvation that God promised, that he did so to and through the nation of Israel. But that salvation is for the world. Can anybody say amen? Sheep of another fold. That's everyone who's not Jewish. We're sheep of another fold. But there will be one flock and there will be one shepherd, our text says. And so sheep, what's the interesting thing about sheep is this. So the first parish that I served in South Dakota, there was a guy who raised sheep. I had the blessing and honor, I'm going to call it an honor, though I didn't see it as one at the time, because it was smelly and really gross. But as I hung out with him, we were shearing the sheep and leading the sheep and trying to get the sheep to where we wanted to go. And the thing that I walked away going, oh God, forgive me for how dumb I am, because I'm a sheep. And so in the scriptures, sheep are portrayed as extremely unintelligent and very dependent. I love what Leland Ryken says about the imagery of sheep within the scriptures. It says this, sheep are not only dependent creatures, they are also singularly unintelligent. I'll just kind of let that sink in. Let it marinate just a little bit. That's us. Yes, I'm sorry. But next to a holy and righteous God who knows everything, that's us. Can we say amen? Can we be honest about that? Because a lot of times we put ourselves in bad situations, don't we? A lot of times we dig our own hole, don't we? Sometimes we get thrown into the hole by someone else. Okay? But God's not the author of that. And so sheep are not only dependent creatures, they are also singularly unintelligent, prone to wandering and unable, look at this, and unable to find their way to a sheepfold, the church, even when it's right in front of them, even when it's within sight. Think about that. The answer for some of you might be right in front of you and you can't see it or are unwilling to see it. And I say that in love because I was in the same place at one time. I was a sheep who had wandered from the fold of God and Jesus came and got me because the beautiful picture of the good shepherd is he's the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. And can I tell you that each one of you are that one? Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is the good shepherd. I hope Psalm 23 is just going to be resonating through this entire message. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, help me to be content with what I have. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we need discipline, don't we? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus is always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is the good shepherd. But the most extraordinary thing that we're going to see today as we look at this text is this, is that he is not just the good shepherd. Jesus is both our shepherd and the sacrificial lamb. Can anybody say amen? The good shepherd that comes to rescue us and the lamb who sacrificed himself, laid down his life for the sheep so that we might live eternally with him in his eternal kingdom. This is the good shepherd who we speak about today. Please stand at the reading of God's holy word if you are able. John chapter 10, we're looking at verses 11 through 21, reading in Christ's name. Jesus is speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep. That's us, non-Jewish people. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also and they will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life that I may take it back up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it back up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and he's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of someone who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And the answer is no. Lord, I thank you for who you are. You are the door, the good shepherd, the light of the world, the bread of life. Lord, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you and not from me, in the power of your Holy Spirit, according to your holy word. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray all of this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, and you may be seated. So let's look at verses 11 through 16, and we're going to see that Jesus has come to gather his flock, both Jewish and non-Jewish people. Jesus again is speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees a wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them. And he flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So we're going to stop there. For chapter 9, this incredible thing happens. This guy who's been born blind, blind his whole life, born that way. In the previous chapter, Jesus heals him. Right after he says in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. I am the Yahweh who leads you out of your bondage and slavery and will lead you through a wilderness wandering on the way to the promised land. Jesus says, I am that person. I am the light of the world. He finds this man born blind. He makes mud on the ground and he rubs it in this guy's eyes. And as the disciples were kind of saying, what's going on here? Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Another beautiful I am statement. As Jesus heals this man born blind, this man's eyes were open. This is a spiritual depiction of you and me, but it is also a historical event that reveals two realities. There are only two responses to Christ as we're going to look at. As the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who were the shepherds, small s, of Israel, the one thing that is intrinsically and blaringly absent from chapter 9 is any care or concern for the man who was born blind and is now healed. All they could do is fixate that Jesus did it on the Sabbath. Oh, bless God. Legalism at its best. And it's amazing how we look for an excuse to try to throw Jesus under the bus. And so in many ways, we're just like those religious leaders. Jesus was right in front of him. He's claiming to be the I am that brings God's salvation, the Messiah, the light of the world, the bread of life, the door, the gate, the good shepherd. My sheep know me. They know my voice. They hear me. They respond. In Palestine, a lot of times there were just only like several watering holes that they could take all the sheep to. So a lot of times, as the shepherds brought their sheep to the watering hole, there'd be multiple flocks there drinking water. But again, ancient Palestinian shepherding was way, way different than it is now. We brand animals so we can kind of understand which one's which, right? Farmers and ranchers brand animals so that they can understand who they are. They didn't do that back then. They didn't need to do it. Why? Because even though all of the sheep would be kind of all mingled together, as the shepherd said it was time to leave, he would call his sheep. The sheep knew his voice, and they would follow him. And they would be able to effectively separate the herds and the flocks just by the sound of their voice. As I have the honor of being your sheepdog, listening to the good shepherd, may we heed the words of the writer of Hebrews, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as so many people do, as these religious leaders did. And so there are three primary pictures of a shepherd, of what a shepherd is, all throughout Scripture. The first one is that the leader of God's people as shepherds. And in chapter 34 of Ezekiel, we heard this scathing prophecy against the shepherds of Israel that had led them into a time of discipline in the Babylonian captivity. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, repent, turn to God, 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 repent, turn to God. And they're just like, yeah, just be quiet. And they ignored him. And God took his saving hand of safety off of the nation of Israel, and they were deported to a foreign land. And so God says this through the prophet Ezekiel in verses 8 and 9. He says, "As I live, declares the Lord," God is speaking, "surely because my sheep have become prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there is no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves." Look at the selfishness there. "Because the shepherds have fed themselves and they have not fed my sheep." What is Jesus trying to reveal to these Pharisees and Sadducees who are in front of them? Look, this guy was born blind. I healed him. I healed him through the power of God. I don't have a demon. I did it through the work of the Father. If my works stand, they are the works of the Father. Those who know the Father know that I am from the Father. Look at the signs. If you don't believe me, fine. Look at the signs to prove that I am who I said I am, that he is the light of the world. And as he opens a man's eyes who was born blind, I love what this man says throughout the discourse of the Pharisees trying to accuse him. And they end up throwing this guy out of the temple. They take this blind man who's now can see, who was born that way, whom God has healed, and they throw him out of the church. Unfortunately, we do the same thing. Jesus is like, "You don't care for the sheep. I'm the door. If you climb in from another way, you're trying to be a false shepherd. You don't care about my sheep. All you do is care about feeding yourself." The shepherds were only in it for themselves. They cared nothing for the sheep. And that's what Ezekiel's trying to express. The second image that we see all throughout Scripture as far as shepherds go is that God shepherds both his flock as well as individuals. I think about Moses. God shepherded Moses as an individual to come into his will, but used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage. What a beautiful picture that God shepherds both all of his flock, but also the individual. He cares about you. All of the hairs on your head are numbered. What does that mean? He knows everything about you. He cares deeply for you, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not. And so we can look for excuses, kind of like the Pharisees and Sadducees did, but Jesus is standing right in front of them. And for some of you, the answer is standing right in front of you. As we continue through this, Ezekiel says this. Let's remind ourselves what God said through the prophet Ezekiel in verse 11, chapter 34. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself," God, "I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among the sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places that they have been scattered." Jesus is a good shepherd. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one, and that one is you. There is no accident that you're here this morning. Don't ever think that you yourselves are an accident. I want to express something clearly because I think sometimes we can, again, look for excuses, so I'm going to try to preach this whole thing in a way where you can't find one. If you don't like me, fine, look to Jesus. Yes, sheep are unintelligent. Yes, you could even say that sheep are stupid. And we are sheep. But you are so valuable that the second person of the Trinity willingly emptied himself and died for you. And can I tell you that if it was only just for you, he would have still done it. If only one person would have been saved through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus would have still went to the cross. Because he expresses his great love and his great value for who you are in him through his death on the cross. You are valuable to him. He came and got you. We are made in the image of God, and Jesus restores that image. The final image that we see in Scripture, and this is the one that we're landing on and we're expressing and we're thanking God for, is that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he is the shepherd. That both is the shepherd, but he's also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the shepherd and the true Passover lamb. Man, can anybody say amen to that? Ezekiel continues as God speaks through him. Again, God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back, the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Does anyone feel like that today? Anyone feel like they've strayed? I will bind up the injured, the brokenhearted. He will give sight to the blind, and he will strengthen those who feel weak. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd that lays his life down for the sheep. The next thing that we see is that Jesus is the Messiah, the second person of the great I Am. I love this section. So earlier in the Gospel of John, it states very clearly that this is why they were seeking to kill Jesus all the more, because not only was he claiming to be the Son of God, he was claiming to be equal with God. Jesus does the exact same thing here. You cannot be kind of God. You either are God or you are not God. There's no Hercules in Christianity. You are either God or you are not God. Jesus says in chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me." I love that. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father." You cannot raise yourself from the dead as a human being. I've asked you many times, spiritually, what can a dead person do to save themselves? The answer is, salvation is totally and entirely a work of God. The man that was blind, did he do anything to contribute to the miracle of regaining his sight? Yes or no? Do you contribute anything to the salvation that Christ has worked in you? Yes or no? No. Ooh, I like that. An adamant no from our children. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. But there's this mystery, and I don't know a lot about this mystery, and I don't think anyone does if we're really honest about it. But in the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, which Jesus is doing right now, through the proclamation of the gospel of Christ and the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit, as we are dead in our trespasses and sins, something happens where God enables us to receive and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is not in our own strength. Have I made that clear? This is not in our own strength. But in our own strength, as dead, spiritually dead people, we can resist the Holy Spirit and say, yeah, no, I don't want that. And we're going to see that in a moment. Because there are only two responses to Jesus, and no response is a response. Right? No response is a response. "For this reason, the Father loves me." That statement, the reason that Jesus said that, that love that he's talking about, that the Father loves him, is because Jesus willingly laid down his life for the sheep. It says, nobody made me do this. So a lot of times we hear these theologians saying, oh, how could the Father participate in this divine child abuse? That's not the case. The Father's like, there needs to be a sacrifice. And Jesus is like, ooh, me. I got it. I'll take this. Seriously. Yes, there's a beauty in the ordained order of the Trinity, but Jesus did this willingly. Hebrews writes about it. Chapter 12, he willingly endured the cross of shame for you and for me. Yes, it's the Father's will, but is it also the Son's will as the one God of heaven? Is it not also the Holy Spirit's will? There's this beautiful ordained order all through Scripture, even though the Son is equal to the Father is equal to both the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is equal to the Son and the Father. Amen. We serve a triune God who is miraculous and extraordinary. And the easiest way to understand the Trinity is 1 times 1 times 1 equals Jesus as the second one, the second person of the Trinity, set all of that aside. He set aside perfect understanding, perfect joy, perfect peace, set aside all omnipotence, and emptied himself, as Paul writes in Philippians 2, so that he might bring us home, that he would come and get us, to leave the 99 and go after the one. Have I said that you are that one before? Please make this personal. But for those who are church leaders, understand that being called as what I call a sheepdog, not a shepherd, if you're called to be a sheepdog listening to the good shepherd's commands, there is a responsibility and a beauty to that. There is a blessing to it, but there is a responsibility. Can my leaders say amen? Wow, that was awful. But Jesus is the true Passover lamb, but he is also the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, the second person of the great I am. The God who led Israel out of their bondage, Jesus leads the second exodus out of the bondage of sin and slavery as the good shepherd. The final thing that we see in our text is that there are only two responses to Jesus. There are only two responses to Jesus. Again, please remember that if we respond in God's grace of salvation, it is totally, entirely a work of God. As I said before, I've asked already once, I'm going to ask it again, because repetition is good. What can a dead person do to save themselves? The answer is, we bring nothing to the table. Lazarus did nothing to raise himself from the dead. But Jesus is different. Because yes, he's fully human, an emptied Savior. He's also fully God, who also can take his life up again. Think about that. That's kind of a crazy thing. Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, in some way, shape, or form, raised himself from the dead in his humanity because he's God. God is one. Like in the West, we try to separate the three persons of the Trinity a little too much, but God is one because one times one times one equals. Here's their reaction. There was, again, a division among the Jews because of his words. Can I tell you that division exists? And here are the two responses. Many of them said, he has a demon, and he is insane. Why would you listen to him? That sounds like the world to me. I don't know about you. Oh, Christianity is just a myth. It's a fallacy. There's no way it could be true. The other response is this. These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can the demon open the eyes of the blind? And the answer is no. God, the triune God, created the world and the universe and everything in it from nothing. The devil is the author of sin, sickness, natural catastrophe, and death. Amen? God had nothing to do with those things. And they've come into the world because of sin. It's hard to wrap your mind around that separation, and you'll never truly do that. But Scripture asks us to accept that reality. But as these respond, like, can someone who's demon-possessed open the eyes of the blind? The natural answer is no. So then, let's think about all that was talked about all the way back to chapter 4. It should only take a couple hours. Just kidding. But think about everything that has been said. When are you going to reveal? Come on, stop keeping us in suspense. When are you going to finally reveal who you are? And I have to think that Jesus was a little frustrated. He wasn't sinning, but he was must have been a little bit frustrated. I know I would have been like angry. Because Jesus says, it's just what I've been telling you from the beginning. Jesus has revealed himself as the great I am, the bread of life, the one who gives eternal life through his body and blood. That he is the light of the world that leads us out of our bondage and slavery to the promised land. That he is the gate. As he lays down his life for the sheep, he protects his sheep in such a way that the devil can never steal you away from Jesus. Can anybody say amen? Oh, however, you can wander. You can reject the grace that has been given you by Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it says it very clearly. Why do you continually resist the Holy Spirit like your fathers did? Today, if you hear his voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd that is calling you out of a flock that you were never meant to belong to, the devil's flock. If you hear the voice of Jesus calling, do not harden your heart as so many people do. as many did in our text. Come to Jesus, all who are weary and heavy laden, because Christ will give you rest. Amen. Is anybody weary besides me today? Does anyone have a broken heart because they're struggling with something that they can't fix? Are you struggling because you're in a situation that you can't control and you don't exactly know how to process it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's every one of us, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus is the good shepherd that promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. Look to him. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, who willingly went to the cross for you and for me. He is worthy of our surrender in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is worthy of us getting on our knees and finally crying out, God, I can't do this. Help me. He is worthy of our praise in the good times and in the bad, because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen? Who has come to get you and me to bring us home. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are and what you have done. Jesus, you are the great Savior of the world. You are the Good Shepherd. Capital S. Lord, I pray that we would never take that for granted. Those who are part of your flock, those who are part of your kingdom, those who are redeemed and saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ, may we rest and trust in the freedom that you have given us, reminding ourselves daily that when the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. And may we go out praising and worshiping the great I Am, the great Shepherd, Jesus, resting and trusting in that freedom, but allowing that gracious gift of his freedom to inspire us to live, a life of confession and repentance as an act of worship to a holy God who has paid it all. May we live a life of confession and repentance, understanding that all past, present, and future sins are paid for in full. Lord, if there's even one person under the sound of my voice that has first of all wandered and put themselves in a dangerous situation, but I pray that you would bring them home. And I pray that they wouldn't fight you, because we do that. That we would surrender in the power of your grace and the power of your Spirit, that you would bring us home. And Lord, if there's someone who isn't a part of your flock that is called according to your purpose, that is called through the saving gospel of Christ here today, may you work a miracle in that person's heart according to your will. May you raise them spiritually from the dead and bring them to new life as a new creation. So Lord Jesus, may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. Enable each one of us, regardless of where we are at, to surrender to you in the power of your Holy Spirit. May we acknowledge our incredible unintelligence and our dependency upon the Good Shepherd. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I pray these things in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.